The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, this is Sam Smith. Welcome to my podcast. Do you ever wonder, I really don't that much, but do you ever wonder what a Bulls player biggest priority would be or would be most looking forward to once he announced his retirement? I think it's pretty clear if you think about it, an opportunity to go to the circus. Because as we know, Bulls players don't get to go to the circus because when the circus comes to the United Center, the Bulls go out on their Western Conference / Eastern Conference trip. Used to be all Western Conference, but in the last couple of years, the league has put some Eastern Conference teams in there toward the end. So perhaps there are a few guys who do sneak over to the circus as the team drops off its laundry back in Chicago, heading back out east. The trip begins in Denver on Thursday, the 22nd. I should have known that, but I had to peek it. I don't do notes on these things, which is, I think is pretty obvious. But just to summarize, the Bulls finish up. But it's sort of looking back on it, especially given the start, losing in Miami, which was expected, ring night. But Miami very well aware of the history of those, having lost one of those by 40. Not surprising they came out and played at the level they did. And then losing in Indiana. It was a close game. The Bulls actually had a lead back and forth game that turned out to be about 20-point margin, but they had a lead with about 7 minutes to go by a point or two. So it was a contested game. And then the Philadelphia game was one of those that you give away. It happens. Michael Carter-Williams played great. The Bulls had a 20-point lead and are not a scoring machine anyway, as we know. We're not shooting the ball well at that time. Dang was in starting the season slow, and he missed 17 of his first 18 threes. And so ended up being a 1-3 start, which could have been 0-4 hadn't that Derrick Rose made that running floater to beat the Knicks at home. Now, given that start especially, the Bulls came out of it strong. Utah, which was a welcome sight at the time. Then a good win over Cleveland, which turned out has been a bit more dysfunctional than expected. Winning in Toronto, then they're by far their best game of the season, blowing out the Pacers. And then hanging on and really playing well down the stretch with big shots from Rose and Dang, Noah and Boozer combining before that for some great two-man plays. And 5 in a row, a 6-3 start. Really as good as could be expected and probably as good or better than predicted, given the circumstances of Rose coming into the season, not having played in 18 months, schedule with 3 of the first 4 on the road, and some of the other uncertainties. I think some of those involving my travel to the game. My car broke down a couple of times. And it does seem to bother the guys when they hear about that stuff. That said, it's time to get into the schedule, and it is really going to be a difficult trip. It's 6 games. I'll talk about the first 4. So maybe I'll talk about more of them because they come. It's 4 and 5 nights, and then a game before right Thanksgiving Eve. So I don't know if I'll be doing a podcast next week because while we're out on the road, struggling, suffering for the team and the city and Bulls.com, of course, we're not sure if anybody will be in the office to do these things. I don't know exactly how they work, which you can probably tell from my personal broadcast. but I don't know if anybody will be working next week. But tune in, and then if it's not posted, I think you should probably the best thing to do would be to wait. So anyway, trip opens in Denver. Oh, yeah, I was going to predict. So I probably should do that toward the end. But just looking at it, maybe a 3-3 trip would probably be reasonable. The opening back-to-back, 4-2 is possible, I guess. Of course, those 2-4. But the opening two games, particularly difficult, starting in Denver and then going to Portland. The Bulls have really, those are two of the toughest places they've had to play. And that's including these last couple of years with Thibodeau. And then before that, with, you know, decent teams with Vinny Del Negro and Scott Skiles. The Bulls have lost their last six in Denver. There's a little bit of a break to start there in the sense that they're not coming to the altitude from a different place, back-to-back or something. But they've lost their last six in Denver and 11 the last 13. Have got run out of that, run out of there a number of times. Now, Denver's not quite as good. They've got some injury issues. McGee's out, but they'll play small and they'll play quick, plays to their advantage. They've been using, and the Bulls are not a big team anymore, so they'll probably match down to that and more likely see Fareed and Hickson instead of Mozgov, who had been playing for, coming into play for McGee. But Wilson Chandler's back. Ty Lawson, when the Bulls played in that preseason game, gave the Bulls a lot of trouble. Denver didn't really didn't play it much to win, just played Lawson early. He's really tough control. Derrick Rose's defense has been a lot better. Played really well on Kemba Walker, who's a quick, small guard. But Lawson is a level above that. And, of course, old friend Nate Robinson is with the Nuggets, having a you know, decent season. They have a lot of guards, Randy Foy there too, and not as many opportunities with Nate as he had with the Bulls last season, but has been that burst off the bench. And as much as he enjoyed, you know, he said it many times, he loved playing with the Bulls, loved last season. He really did want to stay, and there's always an element of with players like that to show what a mistake the team made. So I expect you know, Nate to try to have a big game. Nuggets, and that's one of the issues the Bulls face. I feel they match up better with, in a sense, with a team like Indiana, because Indiana's not a big scoring team, where the big scoring teams potentially could give the Bulls some issues, given they're more defensive team over the last five games. I think they're averaging, giving up about 82 points a game. Defense have been really good and really hard, really good, but takes a lot of hard work playing that, and it wears you out playing, trying to play that against really high level scoring teams. Denver is eighth in the league in scoring. They're a pretty good rebounding team, but they also shoot threes, 11th in threes. So, given you know the much advertised altitude, which is high, that was sort of a joke, but not that much. Tough game. That'll be the toughest game on the trip, Portland. Surprisingly. Now, surprisingly, this is what surprisingly means at this time of the season. We all picked them not to do as well as we thought. So it doesn't mean they're a great surprise. It just means that a lot of us weren't paying that much attention to them. But it is essentially the same team. I think in my case, it was essentially the same team in the end, Robin Lopez, who kind of runs the court with the gait of the abominable snowman. So I don't give a lot of credit in that sense to the addition of Lopez, but it turns out ineffectively, and not points and rebounds, but just taking up space and giving them a presence in the middle. You know, he's better than he's their Greg Oden, because he is giving them some size and strength. And Aldridge, who's having a, you know, a great season at the start, does not like to play inside, is a great mid-range shooter, really one of the best, maybe the best big man mid-range shooter in the game now. Off to a terrific start. Another place where the Bulls have trouble winning Bulls obviously have difficulty in altitude. They also have difficulty in rain because Portland is generally rainy. It's cloudy, which is very reminiscent at this time of year of Chicago. And the Bulls can't win there either. Lost their last five there and 12 of the last 13. So even worse in Portland. And that's not with teams that have been as good as Denver, frankly. It's also the home of Nike. So perhaps it affects Derrick Rose's sponsors and maybe distracts the other players who are going to get their free Nike sneakers at the Nike store while they're there. Anyway, that said, the Blazers, a high-scoring team, sixth in the league in scoring, I think ninth in shooting, number four in threes, also a decent rebounding team, with Lopez and Aldridge now. Lillard, who was Rookie of the Year, another tough cover point guard, and then Wes Matthews is really playing good, or Wesley. I think he likes to be known as Wesley. Is shooting the ball well, scoring well. From the two-guard spot, a guy who has been, somewhat inconsistent. Was a surprise a couple of years ago coming on, sort of falling back as they missed the playoffs after that, and is now really coming on. And they've been playing well, surprisingly well. Had a great win in Brooklyn the other day out on the road. They'd always been a poor road team relatively in recent years. But getting those kind of wins, even against the sinking, staggering, old-age home team like the Nets is a good and impressive win. So that begins the trip, a back-to-back day off, sort of travel day, but then heading into an early game on Sunday, which makes it tough, a 12:30 L.A. start against a good L.A. team, that being the Clippers, who you're not off to a great start, playing well enough, but clearly a contender. By far the number one scoring team in the league. Team is really scoring tremendously. Great athletes, great open court. Chris Paul off to a big start, by far leading the league in assists. Blake Griffin playing better, I feel. Overall, Doc Rivers has got him playing some in the post. Still active inside as well. And they've just got a load of scorers coming off from all over the place. Jamal Crawford, as usual, we know he's one of the best off-the-bench shooters in the league, if not the best. Matt Barnes, Collison, J.J. Redick, Jared Dudley. They just have scorers coming at you from all over the place. It is kind of a different L.A. team, even though they had a terrific season last year. The Bulls have had some success in recent years there, won 4 of 6, but even there, overall, they've lost 8 of the last 13 against the Clippers in L.A., and this is a much better Clipper team. We assume Doc Rivers will have them play a better defense at some point, but, it's more their case. I don't think their defense is as poor as much as the way they're scoring, number one in the league. It's something, it's a point. Not that they had great teams, but Doug Moe used to make that point with the old Nuggets. And I would hear from Hubie Brown as well. Started his great career with the Kentucky Colonels in the ABA, and they did a lot of that, a high-scoring team. And the point always was, look at the margin of victory as opposed to how many points they give up. If you score 115, it's okay to give up 105. And so the Clippers are becoming that sort of team. They're going to score a lot. Paul, virtually unguardable, the way they play, has been scoring a lot as well, too. And again, as I said, leading the league in assists. Really tough cover, which makes it third game in 4 nights, but also that 12:30 start. Not to say, I think we know more than any, the Bulls are the kind of a team that is comfortable with a good book and an early evening. I know Joakim Noah will tell me that often, too, when he asks what book I'm taking on the road before he's getting in early. So I'm not saying that anybody will be distracted, but it is L.A. It is the noon start after a day off in L.A. following the Portland game. There are a number of teams that do that. We know arenas are set, are supposedly games schedules set according to arena availability. And you know, LA is a tough one with two teams in the same arena. But at the same time, a lot of these teams in LA and New York, Toronto does it. Chicago doesn't do it as much, but they'll request early Sunday games because they think the players perhaps will be interested in pursuing some of the late night in their communities. Now, of course, we know most NBA players don't do that and are ready for the game. So it's sort of an urban legend. Anyway, that heads into Monday, and you would say sort of a break. I think the Bulls clearly demonstrated that there are none for them, and there won't be many for them this season with the Charlotte game. It's not so much taking teams for granted. It's just, now Charlotte was tough in the sense that, you know, a good new coach, sort of a Thibodeau-esque guy, and Clifford, who coached with him. They coached together, think alike, see the game the same way, demanding, defensive-oriented, so you get into a slow game. Obviously, Tyrone Corbin not of that level. Jazz off to the worst start in the league, predictably so, playing virtually all young players. But some good young players. Cantor's going to be a high-scoring center. Derek Favors, good rebounder. They've got Burks back. So they can do some scoring. And back home, Utah's had a lot of success overall. Generally, it's always been a tough place for teams to win on the road. Now, this is the worst Utah team ever. So, but then again, it's the end of a fourth and five nights. And so those kind of games could go any way. So that gets through Monday. The Bulls will stay overnight in Utah because we know the clubs are quite attractive there, appealing. No, I don't think that's the reason. Actually, the reason is they're going to be in Detroit on Wednesday, the 27th. So that's kind of a long travel going east. So they will travel on the 26th, go straight to Detroit, and then be there for, they'll play there on Thanksgiving Eve. And the Pistons are a much improved team, up and down team with Mo Cheeks now getting a feel for what kind of team they are and whether Josh Smith is just collecting his checks or going to play for some of them. He got benched earlier in the season when he was basically leading the league in three-point shooting. As we know, Josh being the only player in the league whose home fans booed when he took a jump shot. It was not his specialty. Kind of woke him up a little. I think he got like six steals and seven blocks in the next game or something. Great athlete, but not always aware of what to do. But big front line, impressive players inside. Greg Monroe. They've got picked up Jennings from Milwaukee, who's a pretty much out of control shooter, but could get hot. Always gets distracted playing against Derek, likes to get into the one-on-ones, and we'll see. We all know Rose has started off the season good, if not great, especially for his shooting. Again, I think I mentioned this last time. The only thing I see his speed there. Don't quite see the explosion at the basket yet, but really a good sign for him and the team, and down the stretch when they needed two baskets. Beat the defense twice with a runner and a bank shot, and then a great drive through the whole defense, splitting a double team, getting up, making a layup before Deng hit that three against Charlotte. So those are terrific signs for a guy who's got his athleticism back. And so the Bulls will finish this part of the trip Thanksgiving Eve in Detroit. They get to come back after that for Thanksgiving Day and then head out right for Cleveland. They finish a trip on the 30th in Cleveland against the Cavs team, which they were second in the league so far in team meetings. Knicks, I think, did one after the fourth game. I think they went to the eighth. Supposedly had a raucous team meeting, various accusations. And Mike Brown, though, has survived his five games, which he didn't last year with the Lakers. But perhaps I'll get into that next week, if I do one next week. One of these podcasts, but of course it will be the week after if I don't. And I know that'd be disappointing to all of us. Anyway, so write us, send us postcards out on the road. We'll be looking to hear from you all. And maybe talk to you next week.